8:47, we'll call the regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. Recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall over here for everybody to see if they need to. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. I formally declare the 2012 session closed, sin and die. So you take over.
Okay. We'll have nominations for chairman of the board.
I would nominate Matt Bauman as chairman of the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Second.
Are there any other nominations for
chairman? I'll make a motion to close nominations.
Okay. For a unanimous vote?
For a unanimous vote, yes.
Okay. All righty. Mr. Chairman, would you like to conduct the
You have to have a second.
Oh. No, I have a second. Byers and Juergens, second.
Second.
All
Byers,
right.
Second.
Second. Byers. Sorry about that. Okay. And we can vote now. You ready to vote? Okay. All right. Here, you want to take your...
Congratulations. Byers.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Do the best I can. And ow! Appreciate your confidence in voting in me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't want to leave mine up there because people might.
Matt, you want to bring your nameplate?
I don't have the right name.
What? You want your old seat back or you want Matt's? I got to be between two Republicans, so.
No matter where you sit.
It doesn't matter where. Does it matter?
No. It don't matter.
Life is good.
Life is good.
You missed earlier.
I'm done.
All right. Accept nominations for vice chairman for the Board of Supervisors.
I nominate Gary Lytle.
I would second the nomination.
I have a motion for Gary Lytle to be vice chairman, motion by Dorn, seconded by Byers. Any discussion? Any other nominations? No discussion. We vote for Gary Lytle for Vice Chairman of the Board of Supervisors. Vote. 7-0. Gary, congratulations.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Let me give you some.
Right. Next thing on the agenda is the consent agenda. Consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the regular meeting held December 26, 2012, approval of all claims through January 9th, 2013, in the amount of, is this amount the most current? Okay, $328,899.82. Approval and place on file all correspondence received. Approved bank deposits and inpaid depositories and inpaid security First Bank, Adams State Bank, State Bank of Odell, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, and Citizens State Bank. Approval appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Approval appointing Patty Milligan to prepare levy request. Approval designating Gage County's website as the additional method of providing notice of all meetings and public notices. Approval of Don Hill as a NERMA contact person. Approval, now that doesn't supersede Denny's role on the board, does it?
No, mine just
still on the board. Okay. Approved district court summary fee report for the month of December 2012. Approved permit number 929 for the utility permit for Lower Big Blue NRD to open the trench 6-inch PVC main in Nebraska in northeast quarter of section 22 township 2 north range 7 east Blue Springs Wymore southeast quarter section 29 Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove, and Southwest Quarter of Section 29, Township 2 North, Range 8 East, Island Grove. I would accept a motion to approve the consent.
Matt?
Yes, sir.
I would like claim number 1301-0098
to Johnny's Welding, pulled and voted on separately in the amount of $28,63.45.
Let the record show we'll be considering that claim separate from the rest of the consent agenda.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
So a motion by Dorn, second and by Byers to approve the consent agenda with the exception of the claim that Mr. Dorn or Mr. Juergens pulled. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Now we'll consider the remaining claim. You want to repeat that claim number, Mr. Juergens, even though you're going to abstain?
Claim number 1301-0098 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $28,63.45.
Yeah, motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lionel.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn to approve. Discussion. Vote. 6-1 to approve. Juergens abstaining. All right. And on the regular agenda, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items relative to the Board of Supervisors. Does everybody have an agenda? There's some other folks here that may want to talk, but that'll be later. There's some agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on. We have a motion to approve or disapprove an informal bid from Casper's Construction to repair the stress crack on the wall, the north side of the jail. We need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Make a motion to approve.
I would second.
Motion by Dorn, seconded by Byers. Discussion.
And now if we could have Gus come up and probably talk. Or Gus or Dave, or both of you, maybe both of you. I don't care.
Good morning. Dave Jones, custodian. Last week on Friday evening, for some reason, I'm going to blame it on the dry soil conditions, but the sheriff's office jail wanted to move, and when it did, it put about a five-foot crack, about a quarter of an inch long, right through the brick. We had Gene Casper take a look at it, and that's what he felt, that it was just the building wanting to move. And we noticed there's expansion joints on the inside of the jail, but there are none on the in the brick. And so he recommended that he would fix this as soon as possible. He would cut out a new saw cut and fill it with caulking, but he also recommended to cut some relief joints in there and fill them with caulking so this wouldn't happen again. And I don't have the bid in front of me. It wasn't very much to fix the...
Give this to Davey if he wants to read. Or you want to read that, Byron? This is from Gene.
From Gene Casper's for $460 to repair the crack. Dave and I and Gus went over and looked at that after our committee meetings the other day, and it did. It about a little bit over from the one window, it started at the top, and it's definitely an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch wide crack. Comes just about down to the window, then you can see where it traveled over the window, and then down below the window, there's a more of a hairline crack for about 2 feet. Gene said that Gus was able to call him, and he came and took a look at it and said that if you look at the bricks on the north side, there are no expansion joints in the outside bricks. A lot of times when they built buildings back then, they didn't do that. Now, if you go drive around and look at some of the newer ones, some of the new brick buildings, you'll notice a place where they're all lined up straight. Here, the bricks are offset the whole way across or whatever, and that they put some stuff in there to do expansion joints, so when you have contraction heating or whatever, it's got something to give. We didn't have that to give over there, and that's why Gene also said that this is just to repair the one crack. And his concern is if you get enough water or moisture back in there, then you start having other issues of wanting to force stuff in or out, you know, or whatever. But that we'll need four or five more later on, really, to repair that north brick wall right. And that's something that we have time to discuss and talk about or whatever. But this here, before we get too far into spring, we felt that this needed to be done. And then when the bid came back at this amount, then we thought we'd definitely put it on here today and take it under consideration for...
And I think we need to move forward on the other two, and let's get it done. I'm a little worried about with Gus's car situation he has that one of them might try to escape through one of those cracks. So I think we need to get them fixed up.
Sheriff Gus, do you have anything to add?
No, other than it did Joel all the way through into the
building. The good news is I was concerned that it might be a foundation problem, but I think it is just the building wanted to move, and it had to break apart to Because when it went, I heard that it sounded like a sonic boom, they said. And that's what Gene Casper said, that there's a lot of force. When it snaps, it'll go all at one time and just create a loud boom.
I was impressed when they said boom. It was literally a sound. I mean, it wasn't just figuratively speaking. It shook everybody up.
I would have checked all my inmates about that time.
Any further discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second to approve the amount, $460, to Casper's Construction. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Okay, now I guess we're going to have discussion regarding designation of publications for public and legal notices. Usually the first, or in January, we designate who we're going to use, but specifically regarding our newspapers that we have in Gage County, the Daily Sun, the Voice News, and the Arbor State. And I know last time there was some discussion of how do we separate these, who gets a third, who gets a dollar amount, and so I see a couple folks here from our newspaper. Would you like to come up and visit and speak first, or as a board, how do you... We can just start in discussion. We're not going to take any action today. We're just here to get some input. Just identify your name for the record. Okay.
My name is Dale Crawford, and I'm the owner of the Wymore Arbor State. I think I sent Dawn a letter, and I think she forwarded it to everyone on there. And I guess my opinion is it should remain how it is at a third each. I pretty well stated everything that I had to say in the letter. I don't know if you have any questions for me. Anything I can answer for you?
Stay here, Mr. Crawford. And I had asked Dawn to pull last 3 years what the expenses were for all the papers we were using. And I made a copy here. And I think Dawn's also provided some more information in there. I'll just kind of hold these up because we've got a pile full of papers so everyone knows what we're looking at here. And so you'll see the highlighted one there is where I just kind of totaled across the bottom there what we've spent. In 2010, we spent $20,400. In 2011, we spent $16,400. And in 2012, we spent just under $25,000. So in my opinion, I think where we should go is until the legislature allows us to do things electronically, there's print media out there that we need to use. I think there's a good representation of all areas of the county. I would contend, there's going to be a cost to them. Use them all. It's a free market system. Let the public decide who they want to use, and your circulation numbers will go up or go down. We've got three entities out there we can use. We've got so many other things we need to do, and the dollar amount is staying pretty close. It may be a situation where, the Daily Sun is quite a bit higher than the Arbor State, and as far as the total amount that we use there, and I don't have actual usage numbers there, but at some point it may be a situation where we just can't afford to use one as much. But I think there's an opportunity out there to at least put them out there. They service all three areas of the county. I don't think it would be respectful to the southern third of the county that I think you have most of your readership to get rid of that there. And so I just wanted to present the numbers here and let this is what we're really spending. Relative to getting the information out there, I think it's valuable to get it out there. But I know I talked with Meyer, and we didn't really want to make any decisions today. We had an election, a change in the board, just to kind of talk about it, make a decision in 2 weeks. Terry?
One thing that I see here, there's quite an increase from 2011 to 12, but most of that can be probably because of the election.
Can be.
Is that a lot of that extra cost in there? So. So, consumably, it could be lower next year overall.
Usually, election years, it's a little higher.
Right.
Because of the sample ballots and things like that.
Yeah, yep. We run a lot of publications.
Yeah.
And those are a lot of times at a different, I call them rate or column or whatever,
It's divided up your minutes and your meeting notices go at a legal rate, which generally is 45 cents per line. When you run like your sample ballots, all your weed notices, delinquent tax list, that goes at a display rate, and basically that comes down to all three newspapers have different display rates. So it's going to vary from newspaper to newspaper on those items.
And could we reasonably expect the three papers' amounts to stay basically the same
I can't speak for the other papers, but, you know, our amounts would stay the same.
And again, I just speak to the way that the statute is drafted in the legislature is we have to have a print media source to put these out there. We have to designate one. But I think we've worked hard at using our own website. I would encourage people to go to our website for free. I'm not trying to take any business away from anybody, but I'm just saying that in the electronic media, we've recognized that we need to do a better job of getting stuff off paper and putting it electronically. And I would encourage at some point, outside of, you know, their inheritance tax conversation, that they deal with some of these things that affect the smaller people down at a local level and the access to public records. But I guess, again, the biggest thing is, you know, what are we spending and things like that? Kathy?
Do you have a website for your paper?
Yes, I do.
And do you put our legal notices on there?
Yes.
Is there a separate charge for that, or is that
included? No, I do that free of charge. Basically, all I do is take the PDF of my page and put it up on the website, so there's no extra charge for that.
I think the Voice does the same thing.
And do you know if the Daily Sun does that?
Don't get on that.
The Daily Sun put our legals on there?
I haven't seen them. Other side of the building.
Is there anyone here representing the Daily Sun?
I don't believe
Sun?
There's anyone. Chris is here, but I don't think
is there anyone here representing the Daily Sun?
No. I just don't.
I'm sorry about that. I want to commend our two newspapers on both ends of the county. You do a wonderful job, and thank you very much for all you do for Gage County. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Would you like to speak at all? Do you have anything you'd like to speak
for? Phil Ryan, Voice Newspaper. Thank you all. This board came to our newspaper to put the legals in. We cover, you know, Phillies, Pickerel, Cortland, and
what's
the other one? Adams, that's right. And sorry, 35 years, I'm getting older. So. But anyway, we also put it, I agree with what you're saying, we're happy with what the situation is now. And we do also put all our legals from all our communities on our website, too, as a public service at no charge. So that's about it. Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
You just holler at me or whatever. So.
Any further discussion? I think it's a better way that we've done it now. We're using all three publications. I know that anytime that Patty's office, or I see the treasurer hiding back there in the back row, she has to put things out there as well. The highway department, we put bids out there. And there's could probably be opportunities. We'll use papers that we're not even designating. If we need to get into a market, I know I was talking to Don last year, year before, we had no local bids on a drywall job. So we had to go and re-let that. So sometimes it's just trying to find that market. So we may have to get creative and in some cases, we've even had some people bid, I believe, sheriff cars. Did we get some bids that were from
Illinois,
I think. There was a chance there. So, you know.
Man, I'd like to make one comment. I'd like to thank all three of the papers. This past year, for whatever reason, the communication wasn't there at the start of the year, and we had an issue with rates or whatever. And you guys, I know all of three of them have been talking here since November about what to do with the rates or what options are available, and I really appreciate you guys working on that so that, you know, sometimes you just can't work things out or whatever. It comes to the board the way it is or whatever. But I really do appreciate some of you guys taking the initiative and visiting about it at least so that it doesn't come here unknown and then we just vote on whatever. Appreciate that.
And I think it's worthwhile recognizing Doug Kennedy here from KWBE as well. He sits there awful quiet and records a lot of stuff. But they do a lot of good stuff, too. And I think that and having a good, positive relationship with our media outlets, those are good things. We just need to get the public notices out there and have good communication. So,
I have another question. I've got these two sheets here. And are on this one, on the letter from you with the circulation, are these the most current circulation numbers, do you know? Or did you put the circulation numbers on it?
Which sheet do you have there? That one's from the Daily Sun.
That's from the Daily Sun.
Oh, that's from the Daily Sun. I'm sorry. Okay, so those would probably be the most. And then we've got this other one with circulation numbers from August.
That's what I was given at the time when we checked in August. So that was the circulation numbers.
Okay.
Well,
I just want to make note that I see that the circulation for the Arbor State and the Voice News is up from August, and the Daily Sun is down from August. So, you know, good job.
Well, thank you.
Any further discussion? So then this will show up as an action item in 2 weeks. and will actually take form, and it will still be in January, so that we'll stay consistent with the way we've done things. So,
all right.
Next item on the agenda is approve or disapprove a resolution to add additional speed and reduce speed signs on Apple Road. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Resolution.
Motion by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Resolution number
13-01.
Discussion?
Oh, this, just east of Cortland up there in Apple Road, there's been a lot of contact with Gus about that the speed limit right there at the edge of town is 25 miles an hour. And there's been some concerns from the people in Cortland and surrounding area about people aren't recognizing that, and they're still going through. And I've had several people call me that have been stopped by law enforcement and stuff, and they're going too fast. The Road and Bridge Committee started visiting with Mark Minnelli about this, and Mark went out and drove that, and he says, you really don't slow down quick enough. He said it's quite a problem or an issue. And he came up with, I believe, a proposal, trying to find the one here that, here it is, that so many feet farther out, the 25-mile-an-hour sign will stay exact same spot. 500 feet east of there will be a 35-mile-per-hour sign, and 600 feet east of there will be a reduced speed ahead symbol for a 35-mile-an-hour sign. So that this gives people, if they're paying attention driving, they're paying enough attention to that, not on their cell phones or whatever, they're going to be able to see that this is time to start slowing down, and hopefully this will help a lot. Gus, comments?
Larry Gustafson, Gage County Sheriff. Ironically, I'm going up to the City Council tonight to talk in case you want to be there or not. This has been an ongoing problem. It's getting worse over the years since we got so many from Lancaster moving in the northern part of the county. And we seem to have more problems on East Apple than West. And so I contacted Mark. I suggested putting up speed bumps, which I knew he'd say absolutely not, but I threw it out there. Anyway, what I'm doing tonight is I prepared a packet for the City Council up there to look at some references I think they can look at for grant money. What I want to do or try and do is put up the speed, their radar speed signs, and you've seen the link in a few places. If you go past the post speed limit, it flashes to get your attention. The concern that they have there and I have is in the area coming off of 77 going east out of town, school bus stop right there in the middle. Mark was really shocked on speed going from 77 even out of town. It's up around 15, 60 miles an hour. That's not acceptable whatsoever in that. So we're working on that. And, yes, I've had guys up there, and we try to hit that pretty heavily to get their attention because people keep calling us on their side of the coin saying, get something done. So we're trying to do what we can with the money we have. I have Deb down at the county shops. She's working with me trying to find some grant monies as well to help Cortland out as well. So hopefully we'll get something established on that here shortly. And I'm hoping this is a good starting point for us. So we'll go from there.
You know, that Mark and them, they did a, well, I don't think they did a traffic study, but they did go out and look at it and tried to come up with.
He did do a study, I think.
Oh, he did do traffic
study. Yeah, that's why he had the speeds on there.
Okay.
He did a study.
Yeah, that, but I don't know if he did traffic counts.
I don't know about that.
Traffic counts, but he did do the study on the speed and stuff and everything. And part of the issue is there for about three blocks, it is completely residential. There's houses right on both sides of there. And like you said, school bus and everything else. So.
I've got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This is one of the things that's always bothered me, and I've seen it in town different places too, but isn't it confusing when one lane of traffic has one speed limit and the other lane has another speed limit?
Well, it shouldn't be, depending on which direction you're going and paying attention. Common sense should tell you if you're going out of town, it's this much. You got a driver's license, like I tell people, you should know what the speed limit is.
Oh,
unless
right.
Post it differently.
But
Kathy, if you look at that, though, I didn't finish the whole thing. There's going to be signs going both directions there.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And they will be the same corresponding speed limit on each side of the road at the same time.
Well, no.
I see what
not.
You're saying. The 50-mile-an-hour.
You know, I'm on this block, whether I'm coming or going from town, and actually you're going faster coming into town and slower going out of town.
And you're saying that's confusing?
Well, it just seems to me like if I'm on this block, I should know. Like when I go down 13th Street, I know the speed limit is 25 no matter what direction I'm going. On Lincoln Street, when I go to church, I have to stay 25
longer than I have, and I'm 35 longer going away from church.
Kathy, on this one, they still, the only extra sign in there is the reduced speed ahead symbol, which is going to be 35 miles per hour. They don't have to slow down to 35 miles an hour there. They have the same speed limit until the 35 miles, and then after the 35, everything is 50. So this, the speed limit's the same. They just included the extra reduced speed ahead sign.
I understand that. Between this 25 and 35, when you're coming into town, you get to stay 35 farther into town, and then you stay 20 going out of town. You stay 25 farther in.
Oh, because it's, I see what you're saying. It's the opposite.
Something that's confusing.
It's the opposite.
You know, if the speed limit is safe here in this area at 35, I should be able to go 35 no matter which direction I'm going.
Yeah.
Kathy, one of the things we have discussions in Road and Bridge is there's a manual that they use to how they put the signs. And I know even sometimes the logic of where a common sense approach to putting a sign in, whether it's a bus stop or ahead or a warning, there's distances they have to stay back. I hate to say it's a convoluted formula, but they look at that. As you look at this, it seems to be – this doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but it's –
that's the way it always is.
They spent a little time on it. Look at it.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's just something that's always kind of bothered me that if I go this way, I can go this fast, and if I'm coming this way. And I would think that as a deputy or an officer sitting there going, they're going 35 and it's 25. Oh, no, but they're going this direction, so it's okay.
And they will. I mean, and I didn't know Myron's getting all those calls. I haven't had any on it, but I don't get a lot from in-town folks that are upset about it. So that's why I called Mr. Minnelli.
The only calls I've got that have been upset about it is the ones you stopped.
That's what I mean, right? Sure. Yeah. Well, that's a given. I mean, I haven't personally, so that's good. I'll give them your name and number.
One was really close to home.
The other one was sister-in-law, so.
Troy can't pull strings from that one, Myron.
Gary?
I have a question for Gus, but first I just wanted to say on the safety side of things, if you're coming out of town going 25 and you're able to drive 35 for longer, you're already at that 25-mile-hour speed limit, so you should be able to stop properly if there is a obstacle or a child or a bus stop in the road, where as opposed, you know, you're getting that, you know, you're as you're coming into town, getting them down to 35 and then to 25. I mean, the main thing is that you're breaking them down so that they're paying attention to what's going on. So on the safety side of it, I think that, yeah, it's kind of confusing to the driver, but at least you're breaking them down and getting them to where it is safe rather than 50 to 60 miles an hour right on top of some houses.
Well, and that's the other reason why I want to get those other types of signs. It catches your attention a lot quicker out either direction. And so we'll see what we can get done on that.
And that was what my question was for you, Gus. Here, where you look at the feet in between each sign, you're talking about a little less than a third of a mile that you're going to have extra signage bringing the speed down. But the line of sight, you're probably, actually about a half a mile out now that you should be able to start slowing them down.
Oh, I would think.
Line of sight with that sign.
From the east, boy, I would think. Yeah.
So, I mean, now we're talking about a half a mile where we got a chance to get these people slowed down.
That's I think, Mr. Marnelli was trying to do there. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any further discussion? We have a motion to second. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove policy on road maintenance against traffic. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion made by Juergens.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Discussion. Mr. Juergens.
Matt, this is a policy that the county superintendent is going to put into place. It was brought on by NIRMA, our insurance carrier, as a just to help us out liability-wise, and it's just a policy where our gravel roads, when they're being patrolled and Galen has to order signs, there'll be a sign put out so people will know that there is a grader somewhere down that road in that location grading the road, as well as, and I've seen it in the past, a grader, just to save time, will grade against the traffic, you know, coming back an extra pass. Well, the grading will be done now with the flow of the traffic, you know, going each direction back and forth. And this just this is a policy, and you'll see one of these in there. All the grader operators will get this, and we'll sign it. and we'll make sure that the signage hasn't been, or it could have been ordered by now, but it's going to be ordered, and then we'll put them in place when the roads are being graded and maintained down the road for everything, I guess. So,
Myron? Yeah, and Gina did make the comment that the drivers have all been instructed before, always before, never to grade against traffic, but this is just putting a policy in place more for directive from NERMA and so on.
Gary?
I'd like to commend Road and Bridge for bringing us to this and putting it together, because this has always been a concern of mine, especially when you get out there on some of them hillier roads. I was always afraid that we'd have, I guess we've been lucky to this point that we haven't had a big accident where somebody really gets hurt or killed by coming up on one of those, coming the wrong way up the hill. So I realize that it might have been told not to, but I think it still went on.
And across the state, this has been a problem. The statistics show that their changes need to be made, and this is an appropriate change, and appreciate it.
Mr. Juergens, we'll probably be sharing this with townships as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their annual meeting with them.
At our informal meeting, that's a good place to start, yeah.
Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second. Seeing no more discussion, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next is agenda item approve or disapprove appointing Nancy Niedfeld as a planning and zoning administrator. A motion to approve or disapprove.
I'd move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byer, seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
The reason we're doing this is Nancy took after Marlon left. We had discussion with Nancy about taking over this position, and she did, and we didn't ever formally appoint her as the zoning administrator. We just had her take the job. And I think she's learned a lot in the job, but I think she's also done a very, very good job. I really appreciate what she's done. I know I've been able to call her a lot of times and ask questions, and she probably wonders why. But but I think she's been doing a very, very good job, and this formally recognizes Nancy as the planning and zoning administrator.
Mr. Juergens.
This, along with it, we need to, and we're working on that as far as the assignments, everybody's individual assignment down at the office, and Deborah's here. We're going to set a structure so when somebody enters the office, they'll know where to go, and they'll have a title for doing. Nancy, her title right now is weed superintendent. Well, there's more goes with it. She does more than that. So we're working on the and we'll have something brought maybe by the next meeting as far as titles and what everybody's responsibilities are down at the county level.
An organizational structure, right, is what we're looking,
yep,
at.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Nancy, but it's Deborah's weed.
Deborah,
yeah, that's
excuse
the,
me.
That's the only title Deborah has right now down there is weed superintendent. I mean, when we list her as attending a meeting or something, it's Deborah weed superintendent. It's not whatever else, Wheatman.
I'd like to ask Deborah and Nancy to come up to the podium, please. Just to recognize these two ladies and give us any feedback here as we do this, and to designate you as planning and zoning administrator, and also maybe speak briefly on the dynamics of how things work down there and why the actually formalizing the organizational structure will help the workflow.
We've started. Well, first, I guess I'm going to say I'm glad Nancy's getting this recognition, because she does an incredible job with that. And it's more than probably a part-time job, but she does a lot with the public, with her permitting. And as far as in our office structure right now, obviously, you know, Galen is the head of our organization, and so Nancy actually works more on the line of our payroll, planning and zoning administrator. She does our office management, really, I want to say in operations, the building, the operations, making sure all of our information and time and paperwork, whether it's insurance documents or whatever, are communicated back to Dawn. And they work very closely together in getting, making sure it runs efficiently. My position is I'm more of I'm kind of a sidekick to Galen, so to speak, on the work that we do on bridges and federal aids. I also am weed superintendent, but that's a part-time position for me. But I also am taking an RC course in March. I'm already have all my prerequisites, and that's a responsible charge. And under that, Galen is responsible charge one, and I will be responsible charge two. We will both be able to work on separate federal aid bridge projects as well as together on those projects. But I also work from the standpoint of our truckers, our rock and gravel, getting those tickets put together. I work with Mark Minnelli on designs. I work with the other design firms on their plans, getting information right away. I do all of the right-of-way stuff. So it's more than just weed superintendent. That's been the confusion. So if I go to a meeting and we're putting together, we need to talk with, I used to do utility relocation, so if I'm talking to a utility company, they're kind of wondering, why is a weed superintendent here? So we're wanting a little clarification to make the office run a little better. And then when people do call us or talk to us, they know they've got the right person that they're talking with. And we appreciate Galen being there, but he has a full plate, and we want to make this job easier for him. And that's about it.
We ask our employees down there to do more with less and wear many hats. Mm-hmm. You know, we recognize we did not rehire the assistant highway superintendent position at this point, and so appreciate everything you do down there.
Thank you.
Because when they do visit with other people, we need to, they need to understand who they're dealing with, and we're kind of unique down there. Again, you're wearing a lot of hats.
Well, one other thing I'd like to add, there are 30 employees down there. That's so it's a fairly big job.
It's a small
to keep everybody
in, yeah.
You know, everybody going, and they have to not, I shouldn't say deal with townships, but take care of all the 26 townships, you know, as far as rock and gravel, grader blades, whatever it might be. So it's a high intensity work usually down there. So,
Gary.
Okay, I first want to commend both of you because I think you're doing a good job down in the office. And I got a question, and I don't know if this is more Terry or you, Nancy, or what, but I've had different people ask me, you know, do we do like spot checks when somebody comes in and they pull a permit to build something? You know, do we go out and do like a spot check on them? Because I've had different people come in and they'll say, well, you know, so-and-so permitted this for a $50,000 building, but, boy, I don't know. It looks to me more like about a $250,000 building. You know, is that – how do we check on those things to make sure that, you know, what's being permitted is proper?
When they come in to get a permit, the only thing that's required of me to do is to go out and make sure they meet the setback. That's it.
Then the value would go to the appraiser, would go to the assessor's office.
Right.
Okay. I kind of wanted that just so that maybe it'd make the paper and people would understand how the operation all works.
More discussion? Any more comments?
I didn't hear.
Excuse me. Or radio.
Patty's. Oh, I didn't hear Patty's comment, I guess. What was Patty?
The permits, I think, in some situations are too low. Yeah.
I agree with that.
They're too low. Okay.
That never happens.
But I don't know how do you set, I mean, well,
last
one time this board met, not this board, but the board that was it, the zoning board, we talked about how much it costs nowadays to build a home. Mm-hmm. Dollar per square foot. So.
And on a home, that's when I charge the fee, that's different. We do have a different fee for homes.
But some of these outbuildings, especially
right.
If they've got concrete in them.
They're
I don't
supposed
know how you address that, but
they're supposed to include the concrete with their fee. But
so it'd be probably on the initial permitting side, somebody may be able to get by, but then on the assessment side later, when Dan comes knocking, they'll probably catch it. So, and I'll visit.
I don't know, is there that much difference in the amount? The dollar. I mean, what's the dollar amount versus $50,000 versus $100,000?
Well, if it's ag related, there's no fee other than the application fee. But if it's like a garage or adding to a home, then it's $3 per thousand.
I think the people that talked to me anyway, their concern wasn't so much the fees as the fact that their neighbor wasn't paying all the tax that they should be paying. Yeah.
Myron.
Patty, when somebody puts up a new building in 2012, when does the assessor's office, put that on the tax roll, and does somebody go out and look at that?
What we do right now is it has to be up as of January 1st of this year. So anything that's, we've stopped our deadline right now as of January 1st. So we either put a partial on it, depending on how far along it is, and then we'll watch it as it, you know, throughout the next year. But really, if it's only got just cement or just a little bit of nothing, I mean, we just put a partial on it. And then it goes a whole year before we actually go out and tackle it again. So same thing is, if you go February and you start putting up a house, you don't get charged for it for that year. So,
but if a building was done, completed as of January 1st, then when do you go out and assess that? I mean, or
well, Dan tries to get as many sites by January 1 to estimate where we're at, and then by March 19th we have to set a value on that, and the person gets a notice in May.
He'll get the value in May.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't be able to replace it the same, but he keeps it, you know, where about they are, you know, depending on the weather, too. I mean, some can go up a lot quicker than others. I know there was a time frame when we may have missed some of the bill permits and stuff, and I don't know. That's back a year or so ago when things were. A lot of there was some incentives to get some of those larger buildings up. So now I'm not sure whether everybody came to your office or not. So, but if Dan goes along and is out in a section and something, and he spots something, then he'll bring it back and we'll look at it.
Kathy?
Nancy, and I want to say, too, you guys do an excellent job, and it's really, you know, Nancy, I know you really held things together for a while. So, are you two the only two that are in the office?
Right.
Patty kind of hit on my question that I was talking to. He's just a relatively small contractor in this area, and he said he did concrete for about 43 ag buildings this last year. And he's just a little guy. Do you know how many permits? Because there's huge tax incentives the last couple years for ag buildings. Do you know how many permits were issued for ag buildings, or roughly off the top of
your head? I don't have that list completed yet.
Because
we're having a meeting tomorrow.
How do you – it's just caught by – if they don't permit, then it's just caught by Dan – driving through the country and seeing something that shouldn't be
or
there.
Or somebody reporting it
or somebody
anonymously.
Uh-huh. Yep. I get a lot of those.
Well, I think part of Nancy's job there, too, is it spills over into making sure we have everything permitted is the effect of the traffic patterns specifically on the townships. If somebody wants to do something with a couple of different sheds, they're going to put a house up, the road that person may want to live on may affect how the township takes care of the roads they're in charge of. And I think we've worked on that over the last couple of years to try and improve that communication so that we're not asking them to stretch their product further. So we need to continue to work on that. So it's tough. It's a big county, 866 square miles. So one person doing it. Okay. Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve Nancy Niefeld as Planning and Zoning Administrator. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Thank you.
Thank you, girls. And hang around for Road and Bridge committee reports. Okay. Next item is to approve or disapprove a spec on cleaning agreement and call for bids. This is for the Sheriff's Office. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn to approve. Discussion.
No. Just a question. Gus, in the old days, we used to use the inmates, you know, to do a lot of the stuff. What happened to the old days?
That's just it. They're the old days. The inmates I had back then, I knew. As years progressed, we started finding contraband in the jail from when they're out cleaning. And I don't have the staff to have them there and just watch them all the time.
Okay.
So
So there was a risk involved.
Oh, big time risk, yeah. Okay. So over the last several years, they just, I think 07 was the last time they did this, and I thought it was probably about time to revisit it and see what else is out there for bids on it. So that's about it.
All right.
Okay. Further discussion, comments? None? All right. Motion to approve with the second. Vote 7-0 to approve letting bids. Committee reports, building and grounds.
Okay, as you know, we have the cracks over at the sheriff's office. We also discussed relative to security as far as the entrance, but are waiting till our committee chairs are set up. WIM has offered to come down at no charge with us for a first meeting, you know, to talk about where we're at and where we want to go. So once we get our committee chairs set, then we can come together, and WIM will come down. We'll have a discussion relative to what we want to do, where we want to go.
Economic development.
Economic development. We will be having a meeting on the 17th at 4:30. He is working on getting the list together for the appreciation dinner or whatever. Then one other thing, they will be here on the 23rd for their quarterly report, and Don will need that on the agenda, that Engage will be here for their quarterly report. With the finances and everything else. And as part of that, I handed out last meeting, everybody, I don't know, since Gary and Terry weren't here, I handed out some guidelines where they're trying to get put together a proposal as far as if a company wants to come in, what kind of financial incentives will the county, the city, Engage have as far as helping them. And what Bill is looking at is they're trying to put together something so that this, if he has a company contact him, he can just say, we've got this on record as, you know, we're going to be able to offer these incentives. He doesn't want to, every time a company comes to Gage County or whatever, have to come back to the entities and come up with a plan. And if you don't have that, let me know. We'll get you another copy, but everybody should have had a copy of that. And he will have or be open for discussion at the next meeting on that also.
Emergency Management EMS.
Continuing to work on courthouse safety issues. Kind of an important thing at this point in time, I think.
So probably coordinate when WIM comes down, have a mark there as well.
Yeah, I suppose.
Equalization.
No, nothing.
The Finance Committee. I guess I'll just say, let's see, we of course went through claims. occasionally we'll get and it happened this last time, there was an agency that we had chosen not to fund during the budget year, and there was a request made, so we have to decide periodically if there's a dollar amount, if someone comes to us mid-year and requests funding, if there's a sinking fund or a miscellaneous general fund, if they're providing a service to the community, if we feel that there's a mid-year need to fund those. And occasionally those things may come up, and we may need to come up with some sort of policy so that we don't have everybody coming back in 6 months saying, well, you didn't approve me in September, but now I'm back knocking again. But in some instances, we may want to leave the door open if there's some funding needs that come up. So, let's see. We talked about some of the financial differences in the funding of the paper and media outlets, things like that. That's really, I think, we talked about. We did talk peripherally before law enforcement, which Myron will talk about. Is, you know, we're probably at a point where we're going to have to put some money in the patrol cars. It's one of those unfortunate things, but, you know, we'll talk about that in law enforcement. So,
Matt, one quick other comment here on our fund balance sheet. Here in December, we had quite a large amount put into the inheritance fund. And just to mention that or whatever, I know Roger mentioned it one other time that we were getting something like that, and it's our inheritance fund now is up over $1.5 million. So.
Right. And I think one thing to recognize, too, we should say, is we got our annual audit by Schultz & Associates, so that's, I think, been made available to everyone. Mm-hmm. It'll be here next meeting to discuss that, so if you want to read through that, and if you're having a hard time sleeping, go ahead and read that. But I think it gives us an opportunity to see where we're at. Of course, last meeting we talked about where we were as far as money's used fund balances, percentages, things like that. I think we're going in the good direction. And we, again, you know, the inheritance tax receipts are coming in. And so we do have an opportunity to use those dollars. They're non-local taxpayer dollars. They don't go on the tax levy, and they're funds that come in. So, and when we do have capital expenses, whether it be vehicles or road improvements or things like that, we can use those dollars. And that's why it's there, is to use that as long as it's there. Okay. Human Resource Employee Relations.
No report.
Insurance.
We were waiting for the new board to come on and then get into this new year, and then whether I'm the chair or not of the insurance committee, I think we need to have that next meeting where we bring all the employees in and discuss our insurance plan, probably the first part of February, somewhere first part to mid of February, and that's kind of what we're shooting for right now. So that's what we got going on insurance.
You said in February. I'm just writing notes here. Question mark. Okay. Law enforcement.
Law enforcement. We met Monday with Gus. I think, as everybody was aware of, one of our vehicles was in an accident last week, and he went through all that with us. There was quite an article in the paper, and Gus had to straighten Chris out on some things there. They had a conversation too. So just so everybody knows that. Gus also did mention that at that time we had a couple other vehicles down. One that did have an accident with a deer, and that appraisal was around $3,500 to repair. Also, that originally the vehicle that was involved in the accident, they thought that was totaled, and now it may not be. It depends on the value of the car and everything. They're discussing that yet, that it may be fixed and everything. So Homeland Security, Gus has been visiting with the individuals with that, and sometime in the next, I believe, month or so, or hopefully the next month, 6 weeks, he will come down and he will spend a whole couple days or something, or
a week
down here evaluating the county facilities and making a report back on that. And the guy from NERMA is going to try and have the individual with NERMA down too during that time to also have some discussion. So that hopefully this is something that I find kind of amazing, is that we can get them down here to do this, and that they can give us another perspective on what we're all talking about and discussing about as far as security and where we're at and what we're at, and from that point of perspective or whatever. So it's not just us wondering whether we're doing something maybe we should do or shouldn't do. And I think it's going to be very good. He gave us a little bit of update on the mechanics, I guess, or whatever. A lot of the work is going out to Twin Rivers or to Ford and or whatever, and he's still trying to come up with some other options and see what are available out there. I know he's going to set up a meeting with he has a committee of three mechanics in the county. He's going to get that meeting together again and visit about it. And then the other thing was a stress crack on the jail we visited about, which we voted on. But then since then, we put out bids for redoing the toilets or whatever in all the jail cells, in 18 jail cells. And they had a meeting, and Gus, maybe you'd like to come up and talk about it. They had a meeting with Reitzman's, and he's coming up with another thought on what his bid was.
Yeah, we met with the Chief Industries and Reitzman's are the two contractors that will be working on that project. During that meeting, they had mentioned that probably for an additional $5,000 on the front side would probably save us money in the long run. Reason being is what they bid was called the diaphragm system on the push buttons for your water, like we have in most of the facility now. As we've been replacing over the years, they put in a new, it's a different style, it's a spring cartridge style. The difference is, he says, there's a lot more maintenance as time goes on with the old cell. And so he just wanted me to be aware of that, and I thought I'd pass it on to the committee and we bring it up here as well. Just in case there's any thought you want to do something different now, if they could do that legally, being a bit out. I think Myron and Don talked about that anyway, but he said it would probably definitely save us years down the road on maintenance on it if we went to the newer style versus the style that they have over there now throughout most of the facility. So
how many years were they, when you say years down the road, realistically how long will jail standards allow us to operate a building that cracks when it gets dry and cold?
Well, I think as long as I've always had a good working relationship with the commission up there, and as long as they know we're trying, they've always been very good about and diligent about working with us on that. So I don't have a fear unless something just goes south on me overnight that causes some problems. Otherwise, they've been pretty good to work with.
You're telling us that if we spend an additional $5,000, it's going to save us money over the long run. What kind of return are we looking at, or explain how we're getting that idea?
I guess what he's saying is, because they're up there almost weekly on an average, his people, just to repair. And I'm not a plumber, Gray, so I don't think about this, but the diaphragm system is an older system. It has more mechanics involved to operate, therefore more parts to repair. And we pump sand through our facility anyway, have for years. So that just eats away eventually, like sandpaper does on items and wears on it. Whereas if you went with what they call a spring cartridge, it's just you push a button, it goes right in to release water, and that's it. There's nothing in between point A and point B to go wrong, supposedly. So he just wanted to bring it up, let us know about it.
Why didn't they bring this up in the bidding process?
I tell you, brought up is his service people were up on a call here a couple weeks ago, and they just pulled me aside and mentioned me and said, you know, they bid this because he didn't know how much bidding there'd be out there, so he wanted to keep it as realistic as he could for the county. And so he bid the old way like we have. But the guy said, talk to him and ask him about that. And I said, well, find out what you think the cost might be so I can at least talk to my committee and see if they're going to take it to the board or not. So it came up at a later date. It wasn't even thought about at the forefront. Then it was later down the road, so the guys brought it up and said, well, maybe at least I'll discuss it anyway. And it's nothing we have to do. He just wanted us to be aware of it. So
the way Gus explained it, this is an option we still have for a few, you know, maybe a week here at the most, because he's going to need to order the stuff. And that's why we brought it up now for discussion instead of trying to put something like this back in later or whatever when we have more problems.
Refresh my memory. What was the bid? We had the one, right? It was just one.
Just one bid, but I can't
remember what it was.
I should have brought that over here with us.
Because of the $5,000 potential price tag, do we need to rebid?
I think it was about $280 additional per toilet system is what this would mean. Difference.
If it's $280, there's 18 toilets that system. That was bid. I have the proposal. I have the bid. I found the bid. Proposal thing here, or the thing that was put out for bids, but I don't have the bid amount wrote down either. I mean, and he has a drawing of anybody plumber, if they want to look at it, they sure can. He has a drawing of what he did bid in the back here or whatever. It doesn't have a drawing of the new proposal or whatever. But if you had $280 times 18, you're less than $5,000. Don did visit with one of the NIRMA people about this as since we only had the one bid, we can make some changes to it. And since it's under $5,000, we also can. We have that option or whatever. And they talk more percentage. You explained
it. Well, it was just if you get up to the level of where you have to bid, then that gets you into the criteria where you would have to rebid. If it's a change order, which you have change orders, and it's under your bidding requirements.
Or if somebody objects, then you can...
Yeah, and we didn't have, in this case, we only had one bidder. So this is kind of a unique situation because of the only one bidder.
Right.
You know,
you won't have another bidder come back and say, well, I didn't bid it that way. Mm-hmm. They didn't bid the first time.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Well, you may have, but they didn't bid the first time. They had that opportunity to bid the first time.
They know what the bid is now.
But do you see the angst, though?
You go in a back door situation.
Well, we as a county, though, we've had several bids this year, but we've only had one bid on. I would appreciate it if people would look forward to it if we had more bid. I'd love to have 3 to 5 bids on this. Then we would have something to decide on, and then I could see where some of these issues may be brought up. But when these people aren't bidding out there, excuse me, but I don't know if they really have a strong foot to stand on. I realize they may argue, but...
I just do not do any more civil litigation than I need to.
Gus, how many, of the diaphragm system, how much expense is there in that equipment when they come in to replace something, and how often have we replaced something over the last however many years? This is where I'm coming from. I do not like change orders. And this is more or less a change order. And it's kind of the backdoor system, and I know that we're going to hear static about it. And I realize one bidder, but, you know, if I need proof that this is really going to...
What's our savings going to be?
Yeah.
Well, there's no way of knowing that. I know he's got the new system, quite a few of the shower stalls, and how often, I mean... Honestly, they're up there so often, I don't know what they're coming up for, Gary. It's just I wait and I see the thing come through. I'm not proposing anything. I'm just bringing it out for you guys to talk about and do what you got to do. I just thought there's a cost savings, I should bring it to Myron and the committee, and we talk about it and go from there. So.
And I realize you're not a plumber, Gus. I mean, I realize that part of it, but I just, it's your building, and you're going to have the most knowledge of it in this situation. That's why I guess I'm
asking. Well, obviously, if we put even the older style system in new up front, it'll be a few years before we start having the problems.
Right.
Hopefully. But, you know, that's it's hard to say.
Nancy and Deborah wear several hats. Why can't you be a plumber, too?
I do.
Kathy?
I just don't remember.
Gus, why are we pumping sand or gravel through our system every day?
I guess it's just something that happens. They showed me.
We're not like dumping it.
No. It's just something that they're and it's. And I have to have them talk about it.
Flower
just,
sand. Do they call it flower sand?
It's not like it's a whole bunch of sand. It's just really small stuff in there that over the years it just wears on all the moving mechanisms. And I mean, I have it at my place.
Where does it come from? Through the water or
the ground? It's when they bore that down. It'll eat up your domestic well, like on an acreage or whatever. And eggs.
Stir it up.
It's just a flower sand. Eventually, it'll eat it up.
If it gets bad enough, you put a filter on so you filter it coming in. I mean, if it gets bad enough.
All right. Well, I guess that's we're update on that. If we're going to be in 2 weeks, we couldn't probably make that decision now. We have to have board action to go above the winning bid was $60,840. So $5,000 would be a little bit less than 10% increase. So just be aware of that. And you know, if it's a savings, we're going to spend roughly another 10% just to round up there. But I guess I would defer to the county attorney. Sorry to give you more civil litigation here, but
no,
if we significantly change a bidding process, I mean, it's probably some value in it, but if we let a bid one way, we get a contractor, and then could that be viewed as an upcharge without having a competitive bid? Good companies have done a lot of work for us. They're in-house doing it right now. I'm just saying as a point of process, could someone come back and say, well, heck, if you were going to do it that way, I'd have bid that. I wasn't going to bid the diaphragm. I was going to bid that. So
that's true. And is there any concern that what's due to be installed will be unavailable in the future for repair? But, I mean, I think we do need an estimate of maintenance differences between the two systems. But that is also a good point. Maybe somebody didn't bid it because we actually had bid out something they didn't want to install.
How much longer could we push this out before we?
Well, they're starting on timetable as of yesterday, so if I let him know about a day, he can make a change. If not, he's planning on going forward with what the original bid was.
Because we've awarded this bid, so unless we want to significantly stop the work and rebid it, but.
Yes, John brings up a good point, Gus. Could you, before you tell him move forward or not, could you find out what availability of parts is going to be, and then if he can even tell you, I mean, because that's a dang good point. If there's not going to be parts available, we probably don't want to put that type of equipment in. Okay, thanks,
Rod.
Kathy.
After we have let the bid. Can we go back and say we are rebidding this because of new information or something? What does that do between us and Reitzman?
Technically, you let the bids. He satisfied the bids. You accepted the bid. Basically, that's contractual. And now you're rethinking it. And I agree that you can tweak it. Products change as you go through a process. You're tearing something out and you realize this will work much better. It could save money in the long run. I don't have a problem with that. And the fact that we only had one bidder, you can make that argument. I'm just pointing out that we need to be really careful when we go in these things that we get the specs we want. And I'm not blaming anybody for this. It wasn't brought up to Gus. He isn't a plumber. He relies on people's advice, when they suggest something. And as far as if it's going to be a problem, we can address it, but you point out a good deal because Reitzman may not be very happy about rebidding this thing either. And does he have? He said 5,000. Is that just a ballpark, or?
No, I think he figured that's about 280 per unit. So I think what he said, Roger.
He's like a pretty round number. Basically, you do what you think's best. That's what you think to do, and I'll deal with the rest.
Well.
Well, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is this was bid, anybody else can come in right now. They know the figures that are thrown out here today. They could come in $10 cheaper. All the legwork that Reitzman did and everybody did to do this bid, which takes time. Somebody else can come in, bid it $100 cheaper. They know where they have to be now. Doesn't seem fair to me, so. If we rebid it.
Well, we don't have it as an action item. We're just discussing here, but it sounds like the general sentiment is probably just to proceed with what we bid. And whatever down the road, save money down the road, the place may not even be there. Because how old are the toilets now?
Probably close to 20 years.
So we save ourselves a lot of angst and go 20 years with the diaphragm versus the spring and whatever. Where's a plumber when we need one? We can explain. Okay.
I want to see the headline on this.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, the headline reads, County deals with.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. All right, last committee reports, last thing. Actually, I meant to do it on the front end is I want to welcome our newest board member from District 6, John Hill. I meant to do that as soon as I got here, so this is first meeting. Welcome.
Thank you.
Put your seatbelt on. Sometimes it's a rough ride.
But it's always fun.
But it's always fun.
Roden Bridge.
Oh, Roden Bridge. Sorry, I skipped the... Terry, I didn't steal your thunder there. Sorry, Roden Bridge.
Well, everybody should have the activity report for the crews out there. The highlighting our committee report on the Wymore Bridge project, Myron and myself, Deborah and Galen, met on 12/17 of 12 and interviewed three firms, consulting firms for the bridge project. Manelli Wagner was chosen as the consultant on that project. Maintenance policy on the grading, we've already talked about that part of it. Coming up, we have to prove it in February, the 1 and the 6 year plan. We've talked to some people. We're going to have some local meetings starting next Thursday with township officials and hopefully get these ones done so we can talk personally with the township at these smaller meetings and then get their input on, say, hey, what's your worst bridge out there? Tell us, give us some input. What are you thinking about that? So we can get that plan in place by February. Galen brought us some specs on an international truck and snow plow, and we'll have more information on that at our next meeting as far as pricing and everything else. And that was a budgeted item down there. Right now the county has 5 trucks with snow plows, and this would give us an additional truck, which would mean 6. But one of the trucks is probably going to be put on the mothballs because it does take a lot of attention to keep running. And that's about it. Anything else, Marvin?
I think so. Any questions for Terry at all? No? Deborah and Nancy, anything to add from our Road and Bridge meeting that we had?
One more thing. I think you talked a little bit about the Philly project, too. We're waiting for a couple more appraisals on that, but that's moving forward.
We do have those.
You do have those now. Okay.
They've been submitted.
Deborah, can I have you come? I probably should have you up here.
Yeah. Because you were talking, you made me think of the Philly project.
So you talk, we'll pull you up here.
I've kind of got a raspy voice. It's hard to hear me back there. I did get those estimates
in. Good.
And they've been forwarded to the Department of Roads. They're reviewing those, and as soon as we get the okay from them, we'll start our just compensations again, and then we should get our notice to proceed. So then we can start negotiating after that. So,
And I'm still impressed how easy the Department of Roads has been to work. They've just been wonderful
going out
and seeing the project and working with them. And, you know, we need to have those good partnerships because we've got several highways that come through here and they help us. Okay,
well,
yes, Terry.
I mean, excuse me, if Deborah was done, I just wanted to add one thing. Galen did mention that in the probably nothing to do, but it is important to me, on the road west of Odell that leads to Hanover, that three-mile stretch, the State Department of Roads is going to mill and overlay that road. It's in bad shape because of all the heavy-duty truck traffic. But that project is a go now, and I think the letting date or the start date is September 1st or 3rd, right in there. Could be done sooner. So it's important, I guess, that they get rolling and getting that done because harvest will be here before you know it again next fall. So,
Go ahead, sorry. Galen and I met with Mark Minnelli yesterday, and we went over all the projects and proposed projects for the 1 and 6. We'll be putting together a report for that. But we also want to get the input from our townships on some of the things they're looking at, too. That's why you'll be presenting those maps to them, so we can add those to our 1 and 6.
One of the things we talked about probably 6 months ago, too, as we get our 1 and 6 together, and here's another project, would be to use like a Google map of our county and put a little pin marks of the projects that we're doing. So if someone wants to get on and see what exactly is taking place, you know, what's planned to be worked on, what's actively being worked on, because that may, again, change their traffic patterns as to where they go. And other things would just be just general awareness. And you know, I've used those for different things and at work, and they're relatively easy to do. You can just hover over a pin mark, and you can put a small description of what's taking place there. That may be something that in your spare time.
I know.
Is
there, I know.
You work on a 26-hour clock, right?
Okay. Exactly.
So it's one of those things we talked about a little while ago.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You both. Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, there's a motion here to go into closed session to discuss real estate necessary for the protection of the public interest. Need a motion to go to a closed session.
Motion.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to go into a closed session.
You go.
What do you mean?
Policy. Yeah.
Yep. Come out of need a motion to come out of executive session at 10:51.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. In discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order for the Board of Supervisors? First meeting in January. Just next meeting. Between now and the next meeting, look at standing rules, any changes, adjustments, amendments, so forth, and then committees. Try to put some of those together and go from there.
Committees are then next on Friday, right? Is that
Friday? Yes,
on the 18th.
So you'd have
Are we going to meet with our same committees, Matt, or because we don't approve committees until next, or what do we do?
23rd is when you normally do.
Yeah, we can, let's just keep doing that until we get those. And then I guess the other thing I'd like to consider, and I get, you know, just kind of at the end, is maybe how we do our committees. We sit in that room up there for 3 to 4 hours sometimes, and there's some folks that, you know, just don't ever get to hear those things, and it's hard to regurgitate all that information. So periodically, maybe a meeting of the whole. I just throw that as an idea. I don't want to erode the committee system. I think it works. I think we get a lot of stuff done. But having some of that stuff here would be no action. Maybe consider, you know, how that would work if it works at all. Because I know those, we have great meetings up there. We talk about a lot of stuff, and we try to condense it into a report. And some of that stuff just gets lost. You know, meeting we'll talk about that.
Also, I heard from Matt. And I heard from Danny, I think. Anybody else going to the board workshop? February 6th in the afternoon to the 8th. Carney.
Oh, I can't.
I think I might have heard from you.
John, the first day Wednesday, that's a new board member orientation. They actually give you this three-ring binder to commit to memory.
The board handbook, I think.
Yeah. If you could go, John, it'd be a real good meeting for you.
Do it. I would encourage you.
That's the 6th or the 8th. I mean, I can. It's not.
Anybody else? I haven't. you going or Kathy? Okay. So then I'll make reservations then.
And NACO, they, like I said, they condensed that board handbook, and it's don't good thing to refer to.
Can you still got that one I give you?
It's a good meeting.
I gave somebody one that had tabs.
I don't.
I might have it yet, since we moved it. It's probably gone.
Trains and whatever.
Okay. Board of, anything else? If nothing, Board Supervisors adjourned at 10:54.
John, I have one you can check here now pretty soon again.
What?